Listening Dog Media.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Offside Rule with Lindsay Hooper and Natasha Dowie, promoting women's football since 2013.
Welcome again to The Offside Rule with myself, Lindsay Hooper, and as always, Natasha Dowie. Tash just about made it by the skin of her teeth. We had an early alarm clock because she got a very late flight back. It was delayed. I got a rather concerning message. When I woke up, I thought, oh gosh, I'm going to do this on my own.
Can never let you down, Lindsay. Even with 4 hours sleep, this was what I was looking forward to.
Excellent. Well, we have three matches, as always, that we react to from the weekend. The ones that we've chosen this week, you've gone for the dress rehearsal for the FA Cup final, because in WSL, it was Spurs against Manchester United. Cracking game, that one. So we'll start with that. We're going into the Championship, where Lewis got relegated over the weekend. And then the semi-final in the Champions League. In the first leg, it was Barcelona 0. Chelsea won. Who would have thought it? We didn't big that one up right, Tash. I think we thought that Chelsea wouldn't get any further in this competition, but they've got a great score to take back home for the second leg. Let's begin then in WSL with Spurs Man United. This ended 2-2 in the end. And I think what you can see here is not only the progress that Spurs have made as a team, but just what an FA Cup final we could be in for.
Absolutely. I was looking forward to this game, the dress rehearsal of the FA Cup final. And I think you're spot on, Lindsay. I think that the league is just getting so much more and more competitive. You know, if you look at Spurs, they just have a real belief about them, you know, coming up against a Man United that were fighting for the title last season. I still think United, you know, I think this summer is going to be huge for them, because I think really if they're going to kick on, they need to make some big signings in the summer. But it was a brilliant game, really good. United started really well. Gemma Evans, who doesn't actually normally start for United, she was playing at left back. She played a beautiful free kick in with her left foot, and Mallard rose high. Great header after 13 minutes. So a good start for United. And Spurs reacted really well and actually scored two goals in quick succession. Credit to United, and this is something I think the Spurs need to be aware of in the cup final, is that United, they're a team that they never give up. You know, and Letizia, credit to her, Rachel Williams comes on, and we know that Rachel Williams is such an impact player. Corner comes in, she rises high, it's saved. But then Letizia, so brave, throws herself, you know, at two or three players and gets the header to get the equaliser. I think it was in 90 plus minutes to obviously get them a point. Is it 2 points dropped for United? Let's be honest, the Champions League spots are already chosen. The top three's done. Liverpool obviously getting a win over the weekend as well, puts them on the same points as United. So I think they'll be happy to have shown the character to come back and get a point. Spurs will probably be devastated they couldn't have held on to the 3 points.
I do think as well, when you look at United, the resolve that they show, I think you can tell that these players are playing for Mark Skinner. And I think he is the right man for the here and now, because this is the reaction that you get, that Metisier passion and drive and the hunger to get on the end of that. But we don't just see that from her. We've seen it from so many of the players. But I do think there's been a dip in quality. And I would say, do you point the finger more at the ownership? Because they let Onabadia go. And I don't think that they're stronger. I think they're weaker in some departments. So you're right. I think it's going to be an interesting rebuild over the summer. How about Spurs, though? You know, Robert Villaham's done such a good job that he will be demanding some coffers, I imagine. I mean, they're not that far away, are they, from being a team that could disrupt?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that they're a team that really has a strong philosophy now, which I think is so important. I think if you look at the top three teams, you know their playing style, you know their philosophy. You could pretty much maybe week in, week out, pick their starting 11, maybe a couple of changes here and there. And I think Spurs this season, we were probably not guilty, but at the beginning of the season, I said even at times they were trying to play out all the time, even under pressure, which maybe at times cost them points. But they persisted with that philosophy, like how the men play. We touched on it a couple of weeks ago on the pod with that similar playing style. And I think now it's coming to fruition. You know, I think that, you know, you can see that, you know, that playing style and add two or three players to that squad. I think maybe they need three or four to really take that jump, the same as Liverpool. I think right now the jump to the top three is quite a big jump to be able to do that consistently throughout the whole season. But absolutely, they've played some great football this season. They've got a good squad with young players, a good foundation, a manager that has similar philosophies to Ange in the men's team. So I think, you know, it's really positive, a lot more positive than I expected.
You mentioned about the playing styles and that similarity with the men's team. And I don't think that's where it stops. Like, you look at the Premier League and we often refer to the top six. Could we be in with a shout of having a top six in WSL that isn't too dissimilar? Because we know that Arsenal, Chelsea, Manchester City have been the mainstays in the women's game for a long time, WSL. But if you're talking about those teams that can encroach, and I like to call them the disruptors, Liverpool, you've mentioned, I think they're definitely equipped. Man United and Spurs, who took part in this game, could those three be the ones that make it a six?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And I think the big reason why also is because the amount of games. I think that with those top three playing Champions League and how demanding that is as well in the schedule. Injuries we've seen that happen this season with Chelsea missing some key players throughout the whole season. Your Sam Kerr, your Millie Brights, you know, Fischl getting injured. I think then that will allow those kind of Liverpools, your Spurs, you know, Man United's maybe then to kind of really kick on and close that gap. So yeah, I'm excited to see how in particular those three really strengthen this summer to allow them to take that next step to really push on to try and, you know, disrupt that Champions League top three.
Well, what it means in the WSL table this season, that draw between Spurs and Man United. So Manchester United are in fourth, but they're some way off third. Arsenal secured that final Champions League place with their last result. So they're on 43 points, and then the gap is quite big. It's 32 points for Manchester United in fourth. Liverpool also on 32, and then Spurs are on 26. A quick mention for WSL in the title race before we move on to the Championship, because Bunny Shaw picked up an injury tash. It didn't look good. We haven't had an exact update of timings, but for her to be missing for this final run-in with the title at stake. We were talking last week about Chelsea potentially having four trophies at one point, could end up with zero. I think we'll come on to the semi-finals of the Champions League, but there is every opportunity they could end up with two trophies. I think we keep changing our mind every week.
Absolutely, yeah. No, look, let's first and foremost hope Bunny Shaw is okay. I saw a photo of her boot. You know, and like I said in the recent pods, and this is no disrespect to forward line, but I don't think they have a replacement for Bunny Shaw. You know, she is that good, you know, and I think her stats say it. So if she is missing, that'd be huge with regards to them going on to win the title, because I do think that they're going to go on and win it if she is fit. If she's not fit, then I really think that's a massive boost for Chelsea to then go on and make it, what is it, four or five seasons in a row. Wow, what a game between Chelsea and Barca. You know, I and this no disrespect to Chelsea, I think they've not been in amazing form the last few weeks, had a few dips, obviously getting knocked out of the cups. I was speaking about, you know, Emma Hayes and potentially her kind of interviews and you know where that's been going, and you know, has she been distracted, is she thinking of America? There's been a lot of talk, you know, off the pitch with regards to Chelsea, but wow, you know, I think that kind of any doubt with regards to where her head's at really kind of quieting down a lot of people with this result and this performance. To go away, you know, to Barca, clean sheet, I think the stats when I was looking at it, I think it was 5 years they've been unbeaten at home. That is 5 years. I've just got a feeling Barca are that good that I think they can come away to Chelsea and still get the result. But Chelsea have really put themselves in a good position to go on and create history.
You're right about the discipline in that performance, Tash. I think that was the thing that really impressed me the most. I mean, we know what Erin Cuthbert does. She's a workhorse. The fact that she got this goal didn't surprise me. They managed to get that 1-0, but it was all of their work without the ball that impressed me. And I'm not sure that there's many other teams in WSL that can execute a game plan against opposition like Barcelona the way that Chelsea did in this first leg. And I think it was that reminder, that stark reminder, that this is why they've been at the top for as long as they have been. This is why other teams want to get close to what Emma Hayes has done with Chelsea, because they are the only WSL side, in my opinion, that could cause an upset against a side like Barcelona in world football right now. And you're right, it is halfway. Barcelona are equally capable of doing exactly the same over in England. But what a position they've put themselves in. And then coming back to WSL as well, they've got this game in hand on Man City. We mentioned Bunny Shaw. It could be goal difference. And if City don't have Bunny Shaw, I would be inclined to agree with you that Chelsea will find a way to get those plus goals, because that's what they can do. And they can do it probably on the final day. Whereas with City without Bunny Shaw, I think you're right. I mean, we both said City for the title a while ago, and I'll stick with it. But it wouldn't surprise me now. It wouldn't surprise me if they lost it on the final day.
Cannot wait.
We'll go into the Championship next, where we know, I think we pretty much know that Palace are coming into WSL, because it would be bar a 23 or so goal swing in the final game for Charlton. I don't think that's going to happen. So their game against Lewis ended up being pivotal. Lewis 0, Crystal Palace 2. Now, this confirmed Lewis being relegated. It was a farewell for Maggie Murphy from the football club. So sad scenes in some ways for Lewis, who are going to have to do a rebuild exercise. But for Palace, the way that they played in this game, knowing what was at stake, they didn't just score, they scored. I mean, Hopcroft's first goal was incredible. They looked like they were so up for it, but they were at the top of their game and they haven't let that level drop towards the end of the season. So that means they're worthy, right, of coming into WSL and giving it a go.
100%. I think if you look at the kind of running and the form of the Championship teams at the top, Palace are the informed team. They've won 6 out of their last 7. You know, so they've really come into form at the right time. Big players are turning up at big times, you know, when other players maybe aren't performing, other players are performing. And I think that's what it takes to, you know, to get promoted. And I think really it kind of is great stepping stones and great foundations for what then potentially they can build on for next season in the WSL.
And the goal scoring is key. I mean, that is equivalent to another point. 21 goal swing. They know that they're up, but they can't celebrate like they're up until it's official. But what an incredible way for them to do it. Do you think one of the keys for Crystal Palace is how much that they focus on their academies? And they do this across the men's and the women's, but I think the way that they've integrated players into this first team and the investment that they're putting in the local area, that's probably what's paying dividends for them.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's key. I think that's key in the Championship level in particular, is to have that real solid kind of academy foundation where you're drip feeding the youth players into the first team. I think now when they do get promoted, that's going to be the key. Now, that's where I think it's going to be really interesting, because we know in the past teams that have been promoted, when they haven't strengthened enough, they've gone straight back down. Unfortunately, that's the case for Bristol this season. So I think Palace now, you know, they really do need to bring in some big hitters, whether or not they can do that or not. You know, big hitters that will buy into their philosophy. And I think that's hard, Lindsay, to kind of attract those star players. They're not going to really, they're not going to want to go to a team that's just been promoted. That's kind of the way the game is at the moment. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see the recruitment the Palace do this year, where they need to strengthen, obviously, but they need to bring in the right players that will buy into what has made them so successful this season in the Championship.
I think it will be interesting to see whether they abandon the style of football that they've been playing in the Championship, because I think that's essential. I think they have to. I mean, they've been free scoring. They've enjoyed the way they've been playing. But to use an example from the Premier League and the men's, Burnley, they were playing a certain way in the Championship, absolutely flew away with it. They cannot in the Premier League. And I think Palace will find that in WSL.
And to be honest as well, Lindsay, watching the highlights back against Lewis, Lewis hit the crossbar a couple of times. The Palace keeper had to make some big saves at occasions. So I think 2-0 probably actually flatters the scoreline a little bit. I think on another day, Lewis could have had 3 or 4 goals, you know. So I think you're spot on, that kind of open, free-flowing, they like to score goals, but you know the step up to WSL is a different level, you know. So I think they're going to probably, it's going to be different.
Yeah, big summer ahead. And how about Lewis? You know, they've been doing things the right way for a long time. They were the first club to pay equal to their men's and women's sides. You know, gender equality has been something at the top of their list. They've had great mantras. They've pushed great agendas. But they don't have that backing of a Premier League side. And I think money and commercial, it's going to be difficult in a tier below. Do you think that they're going to now find their place in this next tier? It'll be difficult for them to get out.
Yeah. I think you've hit the, you've literally taken the words straight out of my mouth. I think they've found their level, is what I wrote down when I was doing my notes. And yes, it's sad because, like what you've just said, everything about them I like. You know, I spoke about Becky, you know, being an owner. You know, it's obviously community ran. I think it's like £25-30 a year, you know, buy into this team, and she's part of that. So I think it's got such a lovely feel about it. But, you know, I think they have found their level now, and especially with Maggie Murphy leaving, you know, they're still, unless
Scott
you Boo's know,
going as well.
I haven't heard of where she's going. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I think that's a massive loss. You know, I think she's probably going to go on to bigger and better. I mean, she's phenomenal. What an intelligent woman. And I hope that they find a place, because they've got good players. Will they lose some of their star players? Because they have got some very talented players. Will some of those players get by the Championship teams? But I do think, really, this is the level that they're at now. But I just hope, I don't think they'll lose support. I don't think the crowd will, you know, disappear. You know, I think it's a club that's, like I said, he ran. So I think they'll keep that support. But I just hope that in 2, 3, 4 years time, we don't, you know, basically wonder where Lewis FC is. I hope they stay at that level.
We'll leave our reflections from games at the weekend there, move on to In the Spotlight, and it is a subject that we needed to cover this season, ACL injuries. We've got the CEO of Kitman Labs with us, Stephen Smith.
The Offside Rule with Lindsay Hooper and Natasha Dowie.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Stephen, thank you very much for your time and for joining us to talk about what is a pressing topic in the women's game. You just feel like the ACL conversation is going to rumble on and on, but you're actually doing something about it. So can you start by telling us about Kitman Labs and the work that you've been doing from a data collection point of view with the WSL and NWSL as well?
Yeah, I think... The role that we've been trying to play is helping these organizations to collect as much information as they can about the medical profile of the athletes, what's happening to them from an injury perspective, and then everything that's going on in training, everything that's going on in games, and trying to help them to stitch both of those pieces of information together and better understand player health.
Mm, and it seems like it's so multifaceted. It's not going to be a simple exercise to be able to find out what is the root cause. What would you say that your initial findings have been, and how you feel that there's more research to be done going forwards?
Well, I think one of the most interesting things is that there's an incredible amount of research that exists that tells us, you know, some of the key pieces of information about the differences between female athletes and the female body that allows us to understand why there is a higher risk of things like ACL injuries. But on the flip side of that, there's a very disappointing amount of research in relation to sports science itself and the amount of information that's being collected about female health, about the menstrual cycle, and about injuries themselves that have allowed people to perform really applied research. And I think the role that we've been trying to play is to actually to bridge the gap there and to be one of the first organizations on the planet to help these leagues to actually perform that research, you know, live and in an applied environment. I think it's probably early to be able to you know, be able to come out and say, okay, these are the top two reasons why this is happening. Because there is just such a lack of previous data collection on these specific types of injuries and female athletes. All of the research around ACL injuries that you look at in sport, or the vast majority of it, in this type of environment, looks at male athletes, which is hugely disappointing. Mm.
And I mean, I've been immersed in this topic for a little while now. And in my role at Sky Sports, I spent some time with Manchester City. They had some scientists doing work behind the scenes, and they'd even got postgraduate diplomas being taken to try and look into some of the causes. There's the wellbeing lab as well that we've worked with a few times, and they're making some inroads. And also at Chelsea, I'd spoken to Emma Hayes quite a few times about the issue. But I think one of the key differentials here to what you're doing and what the individual clubs have been investing and looking at the highest level is that for them, it's a little bit secret. It's a little bit behind closed doors. They're not sharing that information as widely yet. And I think that's because they're also looking for those advantages. I know from speaking to Chelsea, the way that they've monitored their players, they think that they're starting to get some positive data. But what you're doing is doing it on a level that is going to be available to everybody. It will be shared info. And importantly, I think for a lot of people listening to this podcast, it means that grassroots football will benefit, because not everyone is going to have the money to invest in a dedicated sports scientist, or the bits that I was seeing at Manchester City, they were doing sort of litmus tests and taking saliva samples and all of these things. But not everyone has got that infrastructure at the club to be able to pay for it. So ideally, is that what you're looking for, is that this is something that can be taken away, and women's football from the bottom up, you can protect those athletes before they reach the WSL or the NWSL?
Yeah, 100%. We want to have an impact on the broader game. But I think what's also challenging about, you know, a Chelsea or a Manchester City doing this by themselves is the size of their data set is tiny. You think about the number of injuries that occur per year. You know, they may pick up 15, 20 injuries across the entire team. How many of those are going to be ACL injuries? Like, you're talking about one, maybe two if you have a bad year. Like, the sample size from a data science or analytics perspective at an individual club is tiny. They'd need, you know, 15, 20 years worth of data. But if we combine all of the clubs together, we start to look across multiple leagues, like we're starting to do across leagues like the NWSL and across the Women's Super League. Now we actually can, you know, within a year, within 2 years, within 3 years, we can start to make some really robust findings that really change the game. And for us, yes, we want our teams and our partners to gain a competitive edge. But, you know, what we're talking about here is, like, we think, like, player health and safety is a much more important topic, and something that can impact so many athletes, and not just potentially in those leagues, but, as you say, down in broader leagues where they don't have the, you know, the support, and in youth football where they don't have an understanding and they don't have the infrastructure to be able to make that impact. And we feel really passionately about that.
A huge thank you to Stephen Smith, the CEO of Kitman Labs. You can hear that interview in full. It will drop down your podcast feed a little bit later this week. And thank you to Stephen for getting up so early. He was on the East Coast of America, so it was a very early get up for him. Tash, let's round it all off with your scouting report. Who have you gone for this week that we should be looking out for in the future, potentially going to rip up a football match near us soon?
Yeah, do you know what? I'm so excited because I had this girl on my radar for quite a while and she's a centre-half, so you'll be very happy, Lindsay. You know, I thought I'd bring that to you first and foremost, centre-back. She's Spanish. She's called Ana Tijada. So Ana Tijada, she's 20 years old and she's a centre-half for Real Sociedad. And I've been following her performances of late. She's kind of under-20s Spanish team, been kind of getting looks in with the first team. So I thought, okay, she's going to be a special player. And then there was rumours over the last couple of weeks about her maybe going to the NWSL. And literally last night when I was sitting in Tenerife South Airport at midnight, she's actually joined Utah Royals on a 3.5-year contract. And the rumour was that potentially it was a $300,000 signing on fee. So, you know, for a 21-year-old, you know, that's a big signing on fee. So I think it shows just the potential that this girl has at centre-half. And Utah are struggling at the moment. So to bring someone in of her quality, I think it says a lot. I think we're going to be hearing a lot more about her.
Great. So centre-back, tick. Yes. Ana Tijada, Real Sociedad, now going to be playing in the NWSL for Utah Royals. Brilliant. We will encourage you as well to keep Tash on the tracks. Maybe send us some centre-backs. I know that a few teams have come in, not only direct to you, but I've seen a couple as well on the Offside Rule account. We're at Offside Rule Pod on social media platforms like Instagram, TikTok, and on Twitter, now known as X. Keep in touch with us that way. And also, if you don't mind, it would be brilliant to leave us a 5-star review. It helps other people find the show. That's it for this week. We'll have the mailbag on Friday. Speak to you then.
The Offside Rule. This is a Listening Dog Media production. Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.